Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the man's voice here on this Sunday afternoon. A lot going on out in the world, especially weather-wise, but I want to introduce the panelists and say welcome to them. Let me bow. The whole system is back to the great for a second. Oh, there we go. All right. So, as we get into this Sunday afternoon, it's kind of warm. We want to talk about that in a few minutes. But in the meantime, I'd like to say hello to our panelists who are on. Hello, Don.
Hello.
Hello. Let's see. Jeremiah, how are you doing, sir?
Great, great. How do you do?
Good. Hello, Bruce. How are you doing? You're having problems otherwise.
Yeah, we got huge storms up here, and in the light of Mrs. Doubtfire. Hello, everybody.
Oh, wow. All right. That's who the panel is on right now. Those are I'm sure there'll be more soon, but we're talking about weather, and I have to say we have a sort of large listening audience in Texas, and I'm concerned about them for sure, but more than 50 million people across the South, from Arizona to Louisiana, are under oppressive heat today. And about as many across the Ohio, Tennessee, Mississippi valleys are under a threat of severe storms. The heat alert includes much of Texas, as well as parts of Arizona, New Mexico, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Tennessee, according to the National Weather Service. The heat this weekend will be oppressive with widespread high temperatures exceeding 100 degrees and heat indicators as high as 120 degrees, according to the Weather Protection Center, noting that heat may exceed 120 degrees in some locations in South Texas. Oh, wow. Dangerously high temperatures are forced to expand into the Central Plains and Middle and Lower Mississippi Valley by the middle of the week, which means that those in South and South Central Texas are being warned that Texas have already experienced a yearly record number of dangerously high heat indexes, and it's going to be very dangerous for you. So we'd like to welcome you and say, if you're in Texas, keep cool. So, gentlemen, how are you doing? Let's talk about the heat a little bit. So I know that you're having trouble up there in Michigan, Bruce. What were you saying?
We're having huge thunderstorms right now, but we need it because we're so dry. So as soon as the skies opened up, I stood out on my front porch and said, "Hallelujah!" but there's a lot of thunderstorms and static in the air and everything right now for us. But heat has been pretty normal here.
Wow. How's the weather in Florida, down in Miami, Don?
Well, today it's real warm. I mean, real warm. Jeremiah can attest to it. It's about 90-some degrees today, and they said all week long it's going to be really warm. You know, we're going through a heat crises in Florida and also in Texas. I was talking with my grandson. He told me it was 120 in Texas.
Wow.
But it's warm here too, David.
Jeremiah,
what do you think?
It's pretty warm. Now that it's hurricane season, I expect it's, we got showers today. We got rain. I expect a lot of showers going forward. As I look at the weather yesterday, it said it should be raining for 3 or 4 days straight. So it's, you got your sun comes out afternoon. It rains. It rains again at night. So it's really, really vigorous right now as far as the rain.
And you know, David, as you know, it'll be raining here in South Florida on one side of the street and the sun shining on the other side of the street.
That is so true. That is so true. And at 3 o'clock, raining in one block and not the next block over.
Hey, Don, do you get those, when you were kids, do you get those green haze storms that we used to get up here in Michigan? Remember those when sky turned green?
Man, you should be down here, man. It's totally different. It is just a situation where it's hot, and then all of a sudden it'll start raining, and then it'll get hot after the rain, and then it'll rain on this side of the street, and there'll be sunshine on this side of the street. It's crazy. And then, like Jeremiah said a few moments ago, during hurricane season, anything may happen.
Okay. Well, let's get into what are in people's minds on the show. And we would like it if you were listening and would like to call in and join the conversation. We're at 646-668-8740. You call that number and if someone asks you, would you like to join in, just say yes, and we'll get you in part of the show. But let's start off with Jeremiah. Do you have something you would like to bring to the table to discuss this week, Jeremiah?
There's a few things on my mind, but I would like to toss it to Don. I always like to I like his segments, and when he starts things out, I like to toss it over to him, and I'll take my turn next.
Okay, so. Don, you've been brought to the front of the table by Jeremiah. Jeremiah wants to hear you. So what do you want to bring to the table?
Well, you know, we've had a hiatus the past week, and a lot of things happening. We just went through a Juneteenth celebration.
Yeah.
Man, that was awesome last week. Juneteenth, the celebration of the people. We celebrate the country on the 4th of July, which is awesome, the independence of the United States of America. And then on Juneteenth, we celebrate the freedom of people. Black people were freed from slavery. And the thing is, we finally got a holiday to celebrate it, and I've never seen it celebrated in such class and such warm embrace. I saw nationalities, black, white, Chinese, all types of nationalities celebrating Juneteenth for the first time, and it was awesome. We have a television show called Traveling with Danella, and we had over 75 different television stations run our one-hour special talking about Juneteenth. And man, let me tell you, what an awesome, awesome, awesome response. I learned so much. These people were freed, and in Galveston, Texas, they found out, I forgot, was it a year later or sometime later after the freedom happened?
Yeah.
It was awesome. Just awesome.
All right.
Juneteenth and Father's Day on the same day.
Yeah, that was different. Bruce, do you have something you wanted to bring to the table?
It seems like, first of all, to add to what Don said, I too enjoy the honest, proper way to celebrate any historic occasions. And Juneteenth, what I saw this year, I tend to agree with them. It was all different races. They were jubilant. There was not all this, you know what, going on. And I second that emotion kind of thing. So what do I have to bring to the table? We're getting deeper and deeper into this whole thing about the Biden family and who was doing what and how much millions of dollars may or may not have been involved in buying influence and so forth. And all of that, those comments have been around for a lot. But now the difference now I'm seeing, and I'm checking this, as you all know I do, I check multiple sources, not just one or two. It's becoming more and more layers of the onion are being peeled back, and every layer that gets peeled back makes it worse, not better. And things are being blocked by the DOJ and the FBI and whatever other kinds of organizations that don't want them to see things. And it's, I guess, what bothers me, and would love additional comments, is they just don't want to give room for real total research to then decide what is truth and what is fiction, what is fact, what is fiction. And that's what's bothering me, is that we don't have the free flow of letting that come out for you and I and Don and Jeremiah and everybody else can decide for themselves, because that's what this country is about.
All right. Any comments on that? All right. Let's move on. And here's something I heard an argument on TV between, not an argument, but a conversation, and it kind of opened my mind to some things to think about, to ask the panel, what are your thoughts on this? I was listening to a minister, and he was preaching against having Pride Month, saying that, you know, this is Pride Month, whatever that means and everything, and he was preaching against it. Then after that, there was another group of people that came on and said, according to the scriptures, it says, love thy neighbor as thyself. It doesn't say if they're this way or that way or which race they are or anything. It's just love thy neighbor as thyself. So the question was, do you think that the ministers, that churches should be against Pride, or the reason that we're celebrating Pride Month? Do you think that's something, because there was a minister that got put in jail for out there preaching about it and got kind of rough and hit someone and things like that. So it's getting kind of out of hand. What are your thoughts, Jeremiah?
Not too sure if I understand your question correctly. You said, what are my thoughts on celebrating Pride Month?
Well, your thoughts on churches preaching that it's against religion or against the scriptures to even have a Pride Month?
Well, you know, I can concur with it in a certain manner, but at the same time, pride and all the additional things has been going on for a very long time. So, you know, how people decide to live their lives it's on them. I just think we go too far as trying to emulate, or you can't make anyone abide by religion. You can't make anyone abide by the Bible. So, you know, that's somewhat the pastor's job to educate and witness. But I think, like in a case that you mentioned, it's gone too far as what they're doing, or casting stones on people, or saying, vulgar or diminishing words to individuals.
Okay. What about you, Don? What are your thoughts?
Thank you, David. I'm glad you called on me concerning this issue. I'm going to speak personally, and then I'm going to speak corporately, and then I'm going to speak religiously. There was a time in my life when I didn't understand a man being a man being with a man, or a woman being with a woman. I didn't understand it, and I was against it. And the thing is, as I began to grow in my understanding, I began to follow the scripture that you quoted, David, love thy neighbor as thyself. And then I heard a sermon that really touched me. I mean, it hit me in a magnificent way in my spirit. It said, we all have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. And God began to deal with me and said, Don, which sin is greater than the other? If that's sin, which one is greater than the other? I said, man, wow. Wow. And see, religious people will say that's sin. But the thing is, God loves us all. A sin, if you want to call it, but also lying and cheating and stealing and homemongering, that's a sin too. So which one is greater than the other? So I learned how to accept people who are who they are. I don't judge people. I don't tell people how to live their life. The LGBTQ community is trying to, well, they are putting themselves on the same level as rights, the same way black people are fighting for their rights. So I have a lot of friends that are a member of the LGBT community. And they don't push their belief on me, and I don't push my belief on them. So I'm okay with it, David. I mean, I don't see nothing wrong with them if that's the way they want to live their life. And I had to grow into making statements like that. It didn't always fall into my belief system, but now it does. I'll leave it like that.
So do you think churches should be preaching against it, against Pride Month?
No, I don't think they should be, David. And the thing is, okay, let's talk about Jesus. Jesus won all types of people to the kingdom. So if they're going to preach it, well, these people could follow the scripture. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Preacher, you got some sin in your life. So is your sin stronger or weaker? My sin, if I want to preach the LGBT community beliefs, which one is greater?
I would. Can I add one thing really quick, David?
Yes.
This is my only exception, right? Because I'm thinking of, I don't know the situation that you brought up, reference the pastor. It could have been where he was outdoors. It could have been like a large event. It could have been in his own personal church. But I would say this. I think young people, I would privilege young people to know the information, to know God, and let them make a choice. Because I know that when you're young, you got peer pressure. You have uncertainty. You have you're curious. So there's a number of things that could kick in, have you confused, not knowing what you are, what you want to be, or the direction you want to go as far as that or even anything else, a career, job, what college. There's a monument of things that you can think about as a kid. So to them, you know, it still has to be the message has to be sent the right way and perceived the right way, hopefully. But there's still the work to be done as far as if the person, pastor, counselor, whoever the person is, you still have to approach it the right way and issue it for the person to receive it the right way, because everybody deals with certain things different in life. Now, if that crowd was an older crowd, 30s, 40s, 50s, 70s, you know, at the end of the day, if that person believes in themselves and has been carrying themselves with the LGBT community for 20 years, don't think you're going to get up there, yell at people, disrespect people, diminish people, and you want them to change their outlook on their life and God and religion.
Right. Jeremiah, you're absolutely right, because the thing is that older generation had a totally different belief system concerning this, totally different. Now, this younger generation, they have a totally different outlook on this as well, with Pride Week and Pride Day. You're absolutely right.
Okay, Bruce, what are your thoughts?
In today's oversensitive environment, people oversensitive environment, and I'll just make that as a general statement, I think Pride months of any group basically is going in the wrong direction. I'm not saying that we shouldn't honor and bring to the forefront and educate, and as Jeremiah very well put, do this exercise to approach different age groups and different thought processes in the right way. We're not taking time to do that right now. What a Pride Month does in today's sensitive environment does too much to rub the subject in people's faces, and they're going to react. They're going to push back and react negatively more times than not. So keep stressing that today. I think you find a way, the leaders find the way in this community, whether it's church leaders, where it's our national leaders, state leaders, anybody that's looked up to as a leader should be touting, expressing, explaining, and emphasizing what Don started with way back. God loves us all. And Don, I don't think I heard you say that God loving all of us, that some of that was wrong. I don't think you said that. Did you?
No, I didn't say that.
Okay, good. So on that basis, God didn't say, love all the blacks, love all the whites, love all the Latino. He just said, love everyone, no matter who he is, living right next to you. And that's metaphorical, but you know what I mean. And we need to get back to doing that. And I agree with the two gentlemen that just talked, our two brothers, that when I just today, yesterday, I had a huge event, Arsenal of Freedom, up at one of my volunteer groups. We had almost 2,000 people, and I'm sure it was every different walk of life, every thought process, every nationality you could name, and we all had a wonderful time. The subject of what you are or what you believe really didn't come into play, and we need to depend on our leaders to go back to stressing that. We can do it one-on-one on our own, and I've always tried to do that, always. But we need to have our leaders that are looked up to or down to, if they're doing it the wrong way, to do more of that. You know, they can take Pride Month or LGBTQ Month or Juneteenth or Black Month or any other kind of special occasion and take that month then and even stress even more that we should be loving each other as our neighbors. Just keep pounding in a polite, effective way that message. And we're so far removed from that right now. I think that has a lot to do with the problems that we're in.
You know, I heard the most awesome sermon that really opened my eyes, and it went something like this. Jesus was my hero. Jesus did a perfect example of how God wanted us to treat his children and his people. You know, the Sadducees and the Pharisees used to always trip Jesus up, try to trick him up. You know, this guy's walking to country, healing people and opening blinded eyes. Let's ask him a question. Hey, Jesus, about the Ten Commandments, right? Jesus says, yes, I heard about the Ten Commandments. He says, well, which of those greater than the other? Through 10, one is greater than the other out of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not commit adultery. Which one is greater than the other? Jesus says, well, number one, love thy God with all thy heart, mind, body, and soul. Number two, love thy neighbor thyself. Do those two, done all 10.
Yeah, isn't that true?
When you do those two, you've done all 10. With love and kindness have I drawn thee.
Yeah, the rest of them fall in line, don't they, Don?
They fall in line. Oh, Bruce, they fall in line. If you could just do those two.
It's amazing. And let me add one thing to all of our listeners and our panelists. If you haven't seen it, you must watch The Chosen. It's a series. It's not a movie. So you can watch it in bites. There's 3 seasons out now. And it amazingly brings that to life, Don. Just amazing. And it's on the Angel app. You can get all 3 chapters for free. I've watched them all, and I am just excited as you know what to see chapter 4 come out. And it's a running, ongoing story about exactly what you just talked about.
Let me ask you this. Is it possible for a person to have a belief system? They practice the LGBTQ community belief system and have a man have another man as a partner to change one day and say, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to love women. Is that possible? Have you guys seen that before?
Absolutely, that's possible. Only the two people involved and the one you're referring to, the one that's either struggling or supporting that relationship in one way, how are we, any of us, to know what that person is capable of or wanting to do? So could they change? Absolutely they could change. Will they possibly never change? Absolutely they may not never change. We don't know that.
All right, gentlemen, that's good. I'm going to move on a little bit because we do have
hello.
Lost you there, David.
Yeah, we did.
David, are you on the phone with some of the callers?
Let's give him a few seconds there.
And if he doesn't come back, we'll take over the show, guys.
We'll just do a mutiny on him.
That's right. Well, no, we'll have a conversation like we always do.
Yeah. You know, this is a very good topic here.
I wanted to ask you guys, have you guys heard about the issue with everyone that went to go visit the Titanic and they can't find them and everything?
Yes.
Oh, I heard that, man. That's a good topic there. Wow.
I was. Oh, Dave was supposed to come back to me after you two, and he didn't. But I wanted to talk about that. And they're extremely wealthy. What's so puzzling to me is these are extremely wealthy people that paid you know, tons of money to go out and see that.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jeremiah.
So, okay,
and Don.
We've got a text from David. He lost power. He's trying to reconnect.
Oh, so I have the storms and he lost the power.
Correct. Correct.
I will try to send you to, I'm not real IT savvy, but someone just, a friend of mine, just sent me a link that will explain a lot of that whole incident and horrible accident that just occurred, and it delves into the background of the people and what happened and why it happened. You guys will find it fascinating. It's only about 15, 18 minutes long, but you will watch it
and you will be glued
to the screen.
Let me ask you a question. Have you heard that this is the way that these ladies and gentlemen would like to go out, or is it something bizarre, or it's something that really happened?
Something that really happened.
On purpose or by accident? That's what I'm wondering.
No, not on purpose.
Okay.
Were they taking too much risk and flaunting the chance of more chance for an accident? Absolutely. But did they get in that capsule, get bolted in with 18 bolts saying, this is the way I want to go out, let's go? No, I don't believe that for a minute. After I saw this, you'll see what I mean. Now, granted, it's not an end-all resource, but it's a very unslanted, objectionable view of what happened, who it happened to, and why it happened.
And we cannot find them. I can't.
Well,
you can't.
Never will. You know that, don't you?
No.
There's no people to find. There's fragments of people to find at best.
So in other words, there's no.
So
flesh,
they went too deep
to
down there.
Yeah, here I didn't understand this, and this will explain. Let me tell you one part. I was like you. I didn't understand it either. The implosion is like taking a pressurized vessel and squeezing it so hard, that's what implosion is, that it heats up so much that they probably had a flash explosion and either totally incinerated everything on the inside of that before it collapsed, because the constant over compression of that air, they said it ended up maybe, I'm going to illustrate, thousands of temperature, rise in temperature, and just poof, they were gone. They said it happened in milliseconds. At least that's their best estimate, that they never knew it hit them.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I hadn't heard the idea of compressing the air, like squeezing, you know, with your hands, or a piece of coal, you squeeze it long enough, becomes a diamond, that kind of pressure would generate that kind of heat and have a flash explosion on the inside of that vessel.
And did they say that was the possibly best vessel to use to go down and see the Titanic?
No, absolutely not. And they'll explain to you why. There's stresses in materials. That's why we have such highly regulated airplanes that are retired years before they could probably really have an accident, but they retire them because they don't want to have an accident. And these materials run a cycle that diminishes their strength and performance capabilities every time it's used, and a lot of that was ignored. I'm telling you, you'll find this very enlightening. And
probably tested the same vessel a few times when it's already put a big crack in what it can do when it actually go down for the real drill, in a sense.
Yeah, he'd been down there, what was two or three times with other people. But there were so many things that they short-circuited in the way they put this together, like almost like you get the feeling, well, I want to get this, keep this going as a business, so here's our next one. And they didn't build another one of those vessels. They kept modifying and improving, let's say, at least to some degree, the vessel they were using. Well, even carbon fiber has a lot of unknown factors that steel and aluminum don't, because carbon fiber, believe it or not, although we we understand its super strength, its some of its super strengths, does not have near the research and cycling research and years of use in these kind of vessels that they could draw on. It's all, believe it or not, a lot brand new technology compared to other things that we've used for, you know, decades.
So Bruce, let me ask this question. So was this a exploring opportunity for people that had money to go down and see the Titanic and just visit the Titanic because I have the financial resources to go down and do that? What was the object? What was the purpose?
Oh, well, you're halfway home, Don. I think the other half, to simplify it, is yes, they have the wherewithal to do that. And again, in this little story, all jammed in here, that I haven't seen on TV anywhere. They also say that the amount of people that even have been down to the depth of the Titanic in the ocean is less than the people we've had flying in outer space and going to the moon. The exclamation point he was making was, we know less about the 70% of our Earth covered with water to the depths that are with incredible pressures, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of pounds of pressure. We know less about that, and we've had less people go there than to space. And as a result, yeah, the other part, Don, you're right, but the other part is, I have the wherewithal and the money and the means to go, and I want to go somewhere where no one else will probably ever be. So the excitement, the thrill, I'm sure there's other reasons, but that's just a bigger piece of some of these people that are real daredevils. And we don't want to squash imagination and pioneering, but you got to do it in a responsible way. And in a lot of ways, this vessel, it sounds like anyway, was not responsibly designed enough or was not retired when it should have been, and build another one, maybe exactly the same to start with. They kept using the same one.
And you explained it so well, Bruce. The world is two-thirds water. And you're absolutely right. Man, we just don't know what's down there on the Atlantic Ocean or the Pacific Ocean or the Asian Ocean. We just don't know.
We don't. And I'm sure that's a huge magnet, Don, to certain adventurers, even more than outer space when you think about it.
Yeah, and right. It's
much, they say it's much more challenging as to the things you have to overcome to get to those spots under the water than other spots out in space. And I believe that. I believe that there's more hurdles to jump and things to consider.
Especially a person diving versus a vessel, you know?
Yes, absolutely. That firsthand shows you that you as a body vessel, you can only go so far. And if you go any farther, you're toast.
Well, I can't wait to get that documentary.
I will send you the link, you guys, and I want your opinion after you see it. It won't take you long, but it will inform you a lot if you're curious.
And Jeremiah, you nailed it about the Titanic. The Titanic, some of the major financial people, like the guy that started Chase Bank and Rothschild and all the big wigs, got off of the Titanic before it really went down, and they were able to change the system because the richest man in the world died.
Because they were there to tell people what they saw firsthand as a diary of what occurred so people could get clues as to what might have made it fail.
So very much so, the 1% is acquainted with that story.
I would think so.
Now, did they find this missile or this piece of equipment that the people went down and died in, the thighs? Did they find that, or is it blown apart?
It's blown apart. They said the thing I think I heard it say is the biggest piece they have seen. They haven't even decided if they're going to bring it up. But my guess is either they're saying that yeah, we're bringing it up and we're not about to tell you right now, or they're still thinking about how do we go down and retrieve what in what way so we can learn the most. But to answer your question, I think the biggest piece they found is, remember that kind of bladed back end of it that kind of looks like comes to a point like a cone? I think a big piece of that is laying on the floor 1,600 feet, 1,600 feet from the Titanic. And the gentleman that was the CEO is a relative of the, what was the famous couple you saw in the Titanic movie that huddled in bed together and died, stayed and died, the Van Asch or whatever, that multi-billionaires. And that CEO that was in that vessel just 5 days ago, 6 days ago, he's related to them.
That's crazy.
Eerie.
So do you think more information lean towards it being a scandal?
No, I didn't. No, Don, and you're fading in and out a little bit, if you can do something with your mic. At least right now, I might change my mind, but right now I don't think it's a scandal. It might have been a rush based on what I've seen and heard as to not taking enough proper safety precautions. Of course, we're Monday night quarterbacking now, but I don't think it's going to come out as a scandal more than a very unfortunate accident for a number of reasons.
You know, Don, it's just one of those things where it was probably expensive. It was the privilege. The 1% wanted that experience, just like Jeff Bezos has this experience with the outer space. So the people who are, you know, retired, can afford it, find it interesting, those are the people that are inclined to do it. And so happen, it just kind of ties in many different ways, just like we just spoke of. But I just necessarily think that, you know, these are people that wanted the experience and was interested and went, and, you know, things went terribly wrong.
Here's another thing, Jeremiah. You kind of danced all around it and then touched on it. They also said if this was maybe tested more like airplanes and aircraft are tested and then retired at a certain time, even though they may have usable life, they've decided by rules, regulations, and criteria that in order to keep these super safe, very few planes ever crash. And the ones that do, a lot of times find ways to survive. That didn't happen by accident. It happened by a lot of good federal regulation and so forth. And they made this comment, Jeremiah. They said, if that kind of level of research might have been put on that, I don't know this to be true, it was just a statement that I heard, that those tickets should have been $1 million to $1.5 million each. And then begs the next question, well, why were they $250,000? Even though that's a huge amount of money, it opened it up to a lot of other people that may have wanted to go that wouldn't have gone at a price tag at $1 million, $1.5 million. So I found that as an interesting comment.
Can everyone hear me now?
Yeah.
Yes, we can hear you, David.
Oh, good. Sorry, we lost power in this area. The whole community was out.
We've been proceeding with your show, and I hope you're taping it because Jeremiah brought up a very, very, very good topic concerning the five people that just went down and the Titanic.
Right. I wasn't listening on my phone, but it wouldn't let me in. But, okay, I heard what was going on, and I thought you guys are doing very well. But anyway, let's keep going.
Well, and what I told them, David, and if my IT prowess allows me to do it right, I'm going to send each one of you a link that was sent to me. It'll be by email, and if I have all your email addresses, I think I do. And it's like an 18, 19-minute little thing, and you will learn more in that 18, 19 minutes than any and everything you've seen on TV so far. It's incredibly informative in multiple ways. The reason why, who went, why they went, the structure of the vessel itself, and it's just extremely interesting.
You know, Bruce, I'm going to tell you something, man. If I were fortunate enough to be a billionaire, a millionaire, whatever that is, that amount of money, I could think of more things to do with my money than to get into a capsule with four or five other men and go to the bottom of the sea. I mean, I just can't fathom that in my mind.
Well, you know why you say that, Don? And I agree with you. You have a different mindset. I would imagine some of your money, if you had it to give away or to produce something, might have to do with helping people and stuff like that. And
that's your
right. You can use it to go in a capsule to dive in the ocean. You can use it to feed hundreds of thousands of people, or you can use it to buy an amusement park. I mean, that's your choice.
But what about the people who are paying millions of dollars to go to another planet, riding these jets to another planet?
With Jeff Bezos?
Yes.
What do you mean, what about it, Dave? What do you mean, Dave?
He was saying, why are they going to the bottom of the ocean? Well, my question is, you're spending more money to go to another planet, so it's the same thing. It's just... you have the money, and that's what you want to do. That's what you do.
Remember, these people are filthy rich, not just $4 million strong, $10 million. We're talking about you're worth $800 million, you know, $2 billion, you know, $17 billion, you know. And they're up in age, and – you know, they're like, hey, I've seen it all. I've done it all. What have I not done?
Yeah,
what have I not done? Seen?
That's right, yeah. And remember, wealth is the only form of legal discrimination. If you think about it, if you really think
that's
about
great.
It,
hey,
that's
Bruce,
correct.
Hey, Bruce, that's pretty good, man. I never heard that put that way. Like,
oh, you haven't?
I'm
yeah.
Right.
It's the only form of legal discrimination.
And then it's privilege.
Let's not paint it all terrible. There are a lot of multi-gobby, unbelievably wealthy, they don't know how much they have, people that do worlds of good as well. But we tend to focus on the ones that either make drastic mistakes, are really on the edge of pioneering, as Jeremiah just mentioned, but not the ones. Wouldn't it be nice? I've always said this, gentlemen. Think about this. I knew a few editors in my time in newspapers, and I know they're disappearing. But I said, you don't think for a minute people wouldn't buy your newspaper if you had a section, I don't care where you bury it, front page, middle, or at the end, that is nothing but good news. Nothing but good news. People would clamor to get your newspaper. Don't you think?
No.
It's not that many newspapers out there like that.
I know there aren't.
Just full of good news.
That's right.
They just don't sell.
You prove my point. No, I don't believe that for a minute. I believe they don't sell because they haven't really given it an honest try. And it doesn't have to be the whole paper. Just make a good news, like the sports section, like the national section, like whatever, the local section, make a good news section. I don't care what you put in it as long as it's good news.
Well, we have a newspaper down here in South Florida, in the state of Florida, called the Good News. And Good News, just Google Good News, and it's turned religious, and
yeah.
You know all the connotations when you involve religion. And that's
right.
Why I'm so glad I met Dr. Bob and Bill W., because they ruled religion out of AA.
But think about this, Don. You can, in a very respectful, good way, you can trick somebody or people into enjoying something by, as you said, as soon as you said, I thought, I bet it's going to go religious angle. Think about this. Any good news is guided by religion in one form or another. Your own personal beliefs, all of that. So you don't have to make it a religious or make it look like a religious piece of paper. You can just say all this, show all this, let them read all this, and you know most people are going to say, why did they do that? How come they did so much? What possessed them to give that money away? And they're going to come back sooner or later to some form of their own personal religion.
Yeah, and see, and that's why the newspaper is so middle of the road, because you got to leave room for the atheist and the agnostic and keep it away from strict religion.
You got to neutralize it.
Yeah, neutralize it. Yep.
Yep.
David, you got anything else you'd like to bring up?
Not at the moment. There are only 8 minutes left in the show, so go on. I'm not sure. I'm working on the site.
David, let me ask you this. What is the word of most callers and the response you're getting concerning a man's voice? What are people saying about this show?
About us, yeah.
The people that are listening to it like the show. There are a lot of questions they keep coming up with that they would like to us expand on, which I was going to do some this time, but without, because right now I think I'm talking through my phone, not through the system. And I'm looking at the system on my TV, on the screen, but the power keeps going in and out here, and I hear thunder and storming out there. So if anybody lives in an area
we can hear you.
Yeah.
We can hear you.
Along that, phone.
Along that same line, yeah. David, why do you think we get very few that really want to engage us? Is it uncomfortable for them? Is it we need to somehow encourage them a different way? What do you think?
I'm not sure about that. I think that maybe the topics are something we talk about, because a lot of people, when we talk about certain, if it attracts them, then they you know, want to say, I'll get texts and things like that. A lot of people just don't want to. I've talked to a lot of people who just don't want to hear their voice on the radio.
They'll text you, but they don't want to talk.
Right, they'll call in and now say, would you like to join in? No, no, just ask
no,
me.
No, no, no.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yes. So we'll have a
what else you got? What else you got, Jeremiah?
Well, you know me. I'm going to jump over the sports segment. Oh, sports.
Okay, let's hear it.
7 feet, 4 inches, Jeremiah. 7 feet, 4 inches. My God.
Oh, jeez.
So we just NBA draft just rolled around. A lot of NBA stuff going on right now. Chris Paul was traded over to the what's this guy's name? I can't even think of his name right now. The Warriors, Steph Curry. So there's been a few trades going on, a few teams looking at almost dismantling due to star power not being able to get it done. There's been a lot of speculations about the Miami Heat getting into some trades. That's pretty much it. We can discuss that. Your favorite teams, and so Don, your favorite team. My favorite team is the Heat. David, your favorite team. What your favorite teams are doing, guys?
Well, what used to be when I was growing up, which is decades and decades ago, of course, unfortunately, I was such an avid Detroit Lions fan that I sat in the snowstorms at Tiger Stadium and watch them contend like none other. And now, if you check a lot of the news outlets, they're trying to raise the Lions again, don't hold your breath, on how fantastic they're going to be this year, and they might even make the title game. We've all heard it before. But the
wow.
conversation out there is a little different right I know. The conversation right now is a little different with the draft choices they're getting. And, Jeremiah, between you and Spencer, why do you always just talk about NBA? There's hockey, there's baseball,
no.
and there's football.
Well,
hey,
because
the draft
just happened.
Yeah.
There's
yeah,
no
that's
NFL
true.
News
You're right,
right
about
now.
That.
There's no hockey news
You're right.
right now. I'm a hockey fan as well. Florida, you know, my team made it up there and disappointed. Miami Heat made it up there and disappointed.
Yeah.
But the latest and biggest news right now is the NBA, honestly.
Because of the draft.
And then you're absolutely right, Jeremiah. But, Bruce, do you know that the Detroit Lions never went to the playoffs except for one time and never been to the Super Bowl?
I'll make it even worse for you, Don. You know this. They're the only team of the original six that has never made it past round two of the playoffs.
Yeah. And see, and then you know what? I used to be a Night Train Lane guy. And,
oh, yeah.
All the bad boys from the Lions.
Yeah.
But when I moved to South Florida, I changed. Man, I got tired of being disappointed. Bruce, I got tired of being disappointed, crying. Oh,
where is your faith? You'd never give up your faith on the Jesus team, the God team. So what is the problem here, Donald?
I'm a Dolphin.
you know what's crazy right now, guys? The Bengals and the Browns have somewhat turned it around, and they're more winning. They're spending the bucks to get better players. Because you got to spend, because no players are just going to come there for the same amount.
Right.
They can go to a better team. You got
to
draft good.
It's impressive to see what the Browns have done, isn't it? Yeah, the Browns are
impressive
right now.
The Bengals have them a quarterback, buddy. The Bengals have them a good quarterback, my guy.
Who do they have now?
The guy from LSU. What's his name? I can't think of his name right now. He's from LSU. But he's pretty good.
Good guy,
I'll tell you. Yeah, he's great. He won the Heisman. Joe Burrow.
Okay.
Joe Burrow.
Yeah, he is good.
And they say Michigan's not going to be a slouch this year either. In football.
You know what,
football.
Bruce, let me tell you something.
Yes.
I grew up in Michigan.
Yeah.
I'm a Michigander. Man,
I know
so,
you are.
I'm like a battered and abused woman.
Well, I want you to see the light, Donald. See the light.
They've got a good quarterback in Michigan.
The light is bright, and the light is bright maize with a little bit of blue sky.
They've got a good quarterback in Michigan, but they have to be battle tested. They haven't been battle tested yet, so you know I'm mediocre. I don't know. I'm in the middle with that. They should be.
Don't tell me you're not an SEC believer, are you?
No, I'm a Hurricane believer for sure.
I wouldn't say the Hurricane. I wouldn't disagree with you. Hurricanes are good.
And they're going to be a lot better. I'm pretty sure we can beat Michigan this year. But we're playing Texas A&M. We're playing Texas A&M, baby.
Yeah.
We'll
oh, boy. Well, I hope you do. I hope you do knock off Texas A&M.
Yes, sir.
But maize and blue, baby. Get on the big house wagon. The big house train, because she's coming to your neighborhood.
Gotcha. All right, gentlemen. Gotcha. We got 30 seconds left in the show. I want to thank everyone
David,
for listening.
David, we like this new format. You start it, you're off for a half hour, and then you come back on after we're done.
Of course you will. Being the only non-minority in the group right now, of course you would.
Don can handle his own.
It's called privilege.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you for
God
listening
bless.
To the man's voice. we will be back next week, and we hope that the weather lets us do it right.
Yeah. God bless, brothers. God bless.
God bless. God bless.
Okay.